Our scripture readings today are taken from the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah. From Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 19, and 21, 20 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And from Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ron. A few months ago, I was gathered with our prayer team. There's a group of people called to prayer for our church and community. And by the way, if you're interested in being a part of that, Kim Connor leads that group, and she'd be glad to visit with you about that. But we get together about once a month. And a few months ago, as we were sharing together, one of the persons that was there shared that scripture. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. And as I heard that scripture, it has echoed in my soul the last few months. And I really see that as a kind of a theme verse for me and perhaps for this community of faith as we move into this new year. The God who is doing a new thing, making a way in the wilderness. Now, in the scripture, we see that wilderness is sometimes seen as a place of grace. John the Baptist, as a prophet, was raised up and he went to the wilderness, that wilderness by the Jordan River, and people seeking to grow in grace went to be baptized by him, to go there to that place, that wilderness place. Wilderness can be a place of grace. But it's not always in the scripture a place of grace, particularly if you're lost in the wilderness. Being lost in the wilderness is not a good thing. Not a good thing. I experienced that with my family. Years ago, when the children were young, we went out on a hike in a wilderness area. And being a former Boy Scout, I was very confident in my sense of direction. But I would then, in retrospect, say overconfident in my sense of direction. And I was also underprepared for the journey ahead. And I have been reminded of that many, many, many times. I don't know about you, but sometimes those of another generation just seem to take great joy in reminding us of our Homer Simpson moments, you know? And so I've been reminded many, 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 many times of that. But we made it through. We made it through. There is this sense in which in the day of being able to put into our cell phones an address, and being guided by Siri or whoever to that location, that we have fewer problems with getting lost physically, but we still can be lost. Lostness is not just a physical reality. Author and speaker Cynthia Tobias was on an airplane with happened to be sitting next to an up-and-comer, and that conversation in the air was non-existent. You know, there were buds in, and it was silent. It was silent, but in the course of that flight, there began big engine problems, and the plane lost an engine and had tremendous issues. There was tremendous turbulence, and they were able to make a landing, but it was very, very terrifying. The airline responded quickly, had another plane for them to get on before they could opt not to get on that plane. They got on the plane, and they were in the same seating arrangement as before. And this time, the up-and-comer sitting next to Cynthia, Tobias, did not have his buds in. And he sat there along with her, stunned by what had happened to them. And she asked him, "How are you doing?" And he said, I feel like I'm up and looking around, but I don't know where I am. I feel like I'm a beagle." And she said, "Tell me about that." You know, not everybody says, "I feel like a beagle." You know, I feel like a beagle. And he said, we have a beagle. Our family has a beagle. And one time we went out to a kind of a state park that had this, we were on elevation and just kind of let the dog run. And so the beagle just started going and was chasing a scent. And they could see him, chase the scent. And went far, far, far. They could still see him. But he got to the place where, chasing the scent, he looked up and he didn't know where he was. He said, "I'm like that beagle. This experience, it's caused me to look up and I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I don't know really where my family is. I know where they are physically, but I've been chasing a scent. I've been running so hard. I've been chasing that elusive dream, and I don't really know where I am. I'm lost." You know, that experience of being in a wilderness and being lost and wandering in the wilderness is not just something for the 2020s. It's been a human experience for all generations. 2,500 years ago, the prophet Isaiah had this message, got this message. Now, where did the prophet get the message from? It was from the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Lord was the one who 600 years before had freed his people from Egyptian slavery. You probably remember the story if you've ever seen movies about it, the Ten Commandments, or read the story. I can see Charlton Heston, you know, rising up as Moses, or there's the DreamWorks version. But we all have that image of God freeing the people from slavery, but he freed them from slavery only to see them start wandering in the wilderness, chasing scents that they thought would satisfy them but proved elusive, that beagle sense of life that we humans tend to have. That was the Lord. He freed them only to see them wander, chasing scents that do not satisfy. Well, who was the message to? Well, it's to a people 600 years after that time who again had been freed from Babylonian exile and were on their way, hopefully, to the land of promise, but they had every tendency, as we mortals do, to chase scents that would prove elusive, that would not satisfy us, a journey and a search that would not ultimately satisfy. And so this is a word to that people in that place. And it's a kind of a fascinating way that the Lord speaks through Isaiah. Because he says, so often in Scripture we're told, remember what God has done. But in this passage it says, forget the former things. Forget them. Because you didn't respond in the former way. But now, today, I am making a way in the wilderness. I'm doing a new thing. See, this new thing that I'm doing, I am making a way in the wilderness. I am giving you streams in the wilderness to give drink to my people that they might proclaim my praise. This time, don't wander after your own sense. Don't wander like a beagle after some elusive search for life. But follow me. Follow me, for I am making a way in the wilderness. I'm giving you streams in the wasteland, streams that will sustain you and strengthen you and give you what you really need, what you really thirst for. That passage from Jeremiah, another prophet, it was prophesying at a different time in the season of Israel. But it was a word to them that has been haunting for me. And it says, my people are guilty of two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug cisterns that are cracked, that cannot hold water. So God has provided this living water for the people, that which would sustain them. But we tend to want to dig our own cisterns, those places to try to capture water, but they don't hold water. They're not going to provide what we're really thirsty for. It seems to me that we live in a world where people are thirsty. And they want a drink. And we're busy digging what we think will provide drink for us, what we think will sustain us. But generation after generation after generation, we dig and we dig and we dig, but it doesn't satisfy us. Henry Nouwen, the great Catholic writer, said this way, that we dig cisterns based on an identity based on what we do, our productivity. But ultimately, our productivity can be here and it can be here. It's up and down. And ultimately, that doesn't satisfy us. We dig cisterns about what people say about us, our popularity, what people think about us. But what people think about us, sometimes it's here and sometimes it's there. Popularity is a fleeting kind of thing. Poll numbers are a fleeting kind of thing. And to live by the opinions of others and for the opinions of others is that will never quench our thirst. Or he said the third way is by what we have, by our possessions. And so often in this culture, we're trying to be in this mad search for something, some possession, some position that's going to fulfill us. But time and time again, no amount of possessions, no amount of positions, no amount of acquisitions will satisfy the human soul. The only satisfaction that is for us is the one who cries out, "If you're thirsty, come to me and drink." Jesus, in John 7:37, "All you who are thirsty, come to me and drink. For all who are thirsty, there is a well, a spring of living water that is available to you to drink and quench the spiritual thirst that nothing on this earth can satisfy." No amount of digging, no amount of searching, no amount of elusive search, this beagle-like search on a scent, is going to satisfy what our souls were created for, and that was created for the spring of living water, the sense of being the beloved of God. See, that's where the spring is. The spring is to be the beloved. You are the beloved of God, the daughters and sons of the living God, the love of God poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. But my hope and my prayer for us in this coming year, this 2020, is to see the new thing that God is doing, making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, that we would drink deeply from the rivers of living water, that spring of living water, that we would then be able to live our lives based on that sustaining grace and live lives of grace. I want to challenge us to begin each day, beginning tomorrow, Epiphany, this day of seeing in a new way, seeing God in a new way. Begin your day drinking deeply of the spring of living water. I encourage you not to begin your day with Instagram. I encourage you not to begin your way with the day with the news feed. That will not sustain you, friends. That will depress you, friends. Begin your day. I'm not saying bury our heads in the sand, but begin our day with the knowledge of the one who can lead us through the wilderness and the one who calls you beloved. Begin your day with the beloved. End your day with beloved. And punctuate your day. I need moments throughout the day where I'm reminded that I am a beloved child of God. I believe you need moments throughout your day where you were reminded, where you drink of the well, you drink of the spring of living water, your belovedness. And then out of that belovedness, that we would live as a church community and as individuals, as those who are living into that second part of our vision statement, our first part being one growing family in Christ, our second part, sharing in God's love with all our neighbors. Friends, there are a lot of people in our community and a lot of people you work with who are thirsty. And they're trying to dig, it's like we all do, trying to dig to find some kind of way, some kind of a way to have a cistern that can quench their thirst by what they do, what people say about them, what they have. But that doesn't satisfy. That won't satisfy. That just makes us weary. To be the kind of person who says, my life is sustained by a love that is greater than the circumstances around, that's greater than the wilderness we walk through. To share God's love, to share God's love in word and deed, to share God's love. I believe that's our calling to a thirsty community, to a thirsty world, to a world that's wandering in the wilderness, trying to find a scent, to find some elusive way of satisfying. Come to me and drink, Jesus says. Come to me and drink. Let's be a come to me and drink community, inviting people to drink deeply of the spring of living water, that spring of belovedness, that sense of being a beloved child of God, claimed by God, the daughters and sons of the God of unconditional love that can strengthen us and sustain us for the journey ahead. I believe 2020, come what may, God will make a way in the wilderness. And God will give us streams in the wasteland to give drink to his people, that we might proclaim his praise, that we might share God's love with all God's children, all our neighbors. Share where the spring is. Share where the spring is. Share where the spring is. In a few moments, we'll be coming for communion, and we'll get to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. May that moment be for all of us a moment of tapping into the spring of living water. I'm doing a new thing. See it. I'm making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you that you are the one who can satisfy the longings of our soul, that nothing on this earth will ultimately quench our thirst. Oh God, we might have a momentary moment where we feel better. But ultimately, only you can give us joy. Only you can give us life. Only you can sustain us. And so sustain us, O God. May we drink deeply of that spring of living water, the belovedness that you long for us to just drink in. And so, O God, lead us in this time of worship that we might recommit ourselves to your great love and to sharing your great love with all our neighbors. For it's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray.